not an easy walk.
Hallelujah.
This faith walk is not an easy walk. And what the enemy will have us to do is to draw from each other, to pull apart from each other. But we need each other to survive. Let me say this. I need you to survive. Praise the Lord today. We praise the Lord today for his goodness and his mercy. We praise the Lord today, for he is a great God. He is a good God. He's almighty God. God who has all power in his hand. God who has all knowledge within himself. Amen. God who is everywhere at the same time, doing whatever you need for him to do to strengthen your life. We give praise to the Lord today. We give praise to the Lord today for you, for your presence here, for your walk with him, your desire to live holy for him. We give praise to you, and we just say thank you. Thank you, God. And we say thank you to you. Hallelujah. As you walk, as we walk together. Mm-hmm. My brothers and my sisters, I invite you to turn with me to the epistle of Paul the Apostle, known as Philemon. Philemon. You know, when I'm reading, sometimes I think about, you know, when we grew up and how we call different words different things, and I'm guilty of that too, but God has just put on my heart, you know, to begin to really look at like when you're reading, if you pronounce the wrong word, the word wrong, it changes the meaning of the sentence. It just kind of throws it off base, and you don't know what you're saying. You think you're saying one thing, you're saying something else. Done that. But from the book of Philemon, we would like to read for you this morning verses 15 and 16 for our sermon text. Philemon, verses 15 and 16. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you may receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, this is God's word for us, God's people. Thanks be to God. Oh God, how how unworthy we are. How unworthy I am, oh Lord, to stand here in this place, God, as your ambassador of Christ Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. How unworthy, but yet, oh God, in my unworthiness, oh Lord, Jesus, my Lord, the blood of Jesus, God, washes away my sin, and you called, oh God, and I heard your voice. You called, oh Lord, that I might be for you, a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a preacher of your word. And so with much humility, O Lord, I bow before you, God. And I ask you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, to be the preacher today. To let your Holy Spirit speak, Lord, in a mighty way. That your presence will be with us, oh God. And that we will be forever changed, Lord, for your glory. Open our ears, Lord, that we might hear. Remove the scales from our eyes, dear God, so that we can see you move upon, Lord, these hearts that long to be flesh, receiving your truth, that each day we might live for you, exalted in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Maximus, the customary condition of his everyday life was that of a slave. For others, living day to day was done with the freedom to pick and choose how they wanted to live. Maybe that was once his life, an ordinary man with the freedom to pick and choose. Maybe he was born into slavery, and that was the only life that he knew. Perhaps Onesimus became a slave because he fell among hard times. You know, sometimes it's hard to take care of your bills and everything. Maybe that happened to him and he wasn't able to pay his debt, resulting in slavery. Maybe Onesimus became bounty from the conquest of another nation that overthrew his own. I don't know the reason why Onesimus was a slave. Scripture does not tell us how or why or even when he became the possession of another man. Whatever the reason for his slave status, it became his normal. But it was not a normal that Onesimus liked, nor did he find peace in it. Therefore, he decided one day to change. He decided to change his status from ordinary slave to runaway slave. And that was a dangerous choice. It was a dangerous choice, even though for Onesimus it brought him a degree of freedom he longed for. That kind of freedom, however, meant that he would always be looking over his shoulder, always walking with his head down, afraid that someone would recognize him. It meant that at best, he would have to live incognito, always, always concealing his true identity. It was dangerous to be a runaway slave. For if he was caught, if someone recognized him and turned him in, Onesimus could and would possibly be face certain death. According to my friend, theologian William Barclay, and I just like his New Daily Study Bible commentary. I don't know him, never have known him, but I love his commentary. But according to him, a slave was not a person, but a living tool. A master had absolute power over his slaves. He can box their ears or condemn them to hard labor, making them work in chains upon his lands in the country or in a sort of prison factory. Or he may punish them with blows of a rod, the lash, or the knot. He could brand them upon their forehead if they are thieves or runaways, or in the end, if they prove to be irreclaimable, he could simply crucify them. A rebellious slave was promptly eliminated. Can you imagine? Onesimus chose to be a rebellious slave. He chose to run away from what was his ordinary day. You see, the landscape of the Roman Empire was fully dotted with slaves. And its slave owners, much like most of the slave owners in America's dark history, were cruel and unmerciful. But God had a plan for Onesimus, just like he has a plan for every life that the Father has created, even you. Little did Onesimus know that he would cross paths, that his life would be intersected with the life of the imprisoned Apostle Paul. His encounter with Paul would change Onesimus' life forever. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul became Onesimus' father in the faith. Paul's witness gave birth to a spiritual son. Mm-hmm. In verse 10 of the letter that Paul writes to Philemon, he says, "I appeal to you for my son, for this one that I love, whom I have begotten while in my chain." See, Father, God knew before Onesimus even thought in his mind. Father, God knew that he would run away. And God orchestrated his life intersection with Paul, an intersection where Onesimus, the slave, desiring freedom, would become free in a way that he never expected. The same is true for each of us, my brothers and my sisters. Same is true for each and every person created in the image, the likeness of God. God desires to change our status, the status of all people, the way he changed the status of Onesimus. We just have to follow God's lead. Our freedom, real freedom, if you want to be free, our real freedom in this life comes from God. God always leads us to himself. God always leads us into a relationship with him via Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. God's leading and God's plan for us are always for our good, always for our benefit, and soon Onesimus will find out the truth. So how did he orchestrate leading Onesimus into this area, into this arena, into the situation that was for his good? See, the first thing that I believe that the scripture relative to Onesimus, the change in him, is that what I've already said, and I'm going to repeat myself here, and that is that Onesimus became a follower of Christ. If you want your life to be changed, become a follower of Christ. He became a new man in Christ Jesus, a changed man. His status was changed. All of the resentment that he felt, all of the frustration that he experienced, the anger that rose up inside of him was erased from his heart because of Christ. All of that. And you may ask, well, Pastor Gail, how do you know that? How do you know that the frustration was released? How do you know that the anger was gone, the resentment? And I appreciate the fact that you asked me that question. Because the Word of God, the Scripture, if you read the Philemon, it shows that this runaway slave willingly goes back to his master. He goes back to his master. Actually, the letter that he carries to Philemon, the letter that Paul gives, that Paul writes to his friend Philemon. Onesimus is the one who's delivering it. He's delivering the letter. So he's going back. He's going back to the place. He's going back to the life that he so hated, that he ran away from, that he could not endure anymore. And he could only go back and make things right with his master if he is free. If he's released from all of that, he was free from that life. He was totally free from that life that he escaped from. And he could have taken that letter that Paul wrote. He could have taken it. He could have torn it up. He could have taken that letter. He could have burned it up. He could have taken the letter and destroyed it in so many ways and just kept on trucking. But Onesimus doesn't do that. He goes back into this place that he thought was a den of captivity. He goes back to this place where he had a situation, a life that he hated. And he can only do that because he was a new person in Christ Jesus. He was still legally indebted to Philemon. He still owed him his life. He still owed him respect. And I would imagine that even when he thought about it, even in Christ Jesus, going back, that he thought about all of the things that could happen to him. I'm sure he thought about the fact that Philemon would be so angry with him that his decision would be to crucify him. But in spite of everything that he could possibly face, this new man in Christ Jesus chose to go back. To go back and to make things right. To go back and owe Philemon nothing. Romans 13 and 8 tells us that owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. So he had to go back. Onesimus' conversion and relationship with Christ compels him to love the master he once hated. It compels him to make right the wrong that he had done. It compels him to show up again in this place that he so greatly despised that he chose to run away from it. And I know, my brothers and my sisters, when we think about things in the flesh, that just does not make any sense. It does not make any sense that you're going to go back to some place where your life may be threatened. It doesn't make sense that you might possibly go back to some place where somebody has mistreated you so they can mistreat you again. It doesn't make sense, but in Christ Jesus, we have to make things right. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. God says you got to make it right. God says you got to do it. And we have to know this, that God has chosen the foolish things, it sounds foolish, of the world to confound the wise. That God has chosen the weak things. A weak slave, someone who does not own himself, to put to shame the things that are mighty and the things that are strong. So it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing with a nation of us. It's a spiritual thing for us to choose to make things right, to do things the right way, to take care of our commitments. And it's a spiritual thing. It's not just something that we do in the flesh. It's a spiritual thing. Because in the natural, we can't receive the things of the Spirit. We are, as Donald Lawrence sings, it is Donald Lawrence, that we are spiritual beings having a natural experience. We are spiritual beings having a natural experience because God made us in his spirit and in his likeness. And what is God? God is spirit. But in the spirit, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we know that in Christ that we got to do it. Onesimus, Onesimus, trusting that God would be with him, goes back. He goes back. And we have to go back. And we have to understand that God truly indeed gives his angels charge over us. Is that not what happened with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? God gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. The word says that in their hands, in the hands of God's angels, they shall bear us up lest we dash our foot against a stone. Amen. Meaning that God is not going to put you in a situation, put you in a place, and just leave you all to yourself. We got to trust him. We got to believe his word, for he declares that he will take care of us. He declares that he will be with us always. And so we have to make things right even when it does not make sense to us. My brothers and my sisters, as a result of Onesimus' intersection with Paul, he was elevated to the status of a real man. He became a man's a man. Amen. And a truly free man. His soul was free. His mind was free. He was no longer a slave to sin. Amen. He was no longer a slave to his emotions. No longer overthrown by fleshly or worldly desires. He was free to offer Philemon the love he could not give him as a man of servitude. He was free to be all that God had created him to be. Free to walk in the light of Christ. Free to do what God wanted him to do. No longer would he run. No longer would he hide. No longer would he have to live a lie. He was a real man. For it takes a real man to admit that he's wrong. It takes a real man to face and to deal with the issues of his past. Running away is not the best answer. Facing the past and rising above it in the power of God, the power that is in you, is always the best answer, the best solution to moving forward. Onesimus wanted to move forward in his life. And in Christ Jesus, he was free to face his past and to resolve his issues. In Christ, we too are free to face our past and resolve our issues. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. because the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. And the Word of God tells us that where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit is, there is always true freedom. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, Onesimus became a valuable friend to Paul and a more valuable person to Philemon. He was of such value to Paul that Paul wanted to keep him for himself. How valuable are you to those around you? Paul wrote that Onesimus was once useless to you. He was of no good to you, but now he is useful to you and to me. He says, I could have wished to keep him beside myself. That's how good he is to me, that he might serve me for you in the bonds which the gospel has brought to me. Colossians 4 and 9, again, Paul writes of Onesimus. He is a faithful and beloved brother. Onesimus is a person who was once a useless slave, but now he can be trusted, a person who is true and committed to Christ. As such, he will be and is a person. Philemon will not have to worry about stealing from him. He won't have to worry about him being slothful in his duties. He won't have to worry about the things that he's doing, whether or not he's supposed to be doing this or supposed to be doing this. Do I have to keep my eyes on him because he's over here and I want him over here? Do I have to keep my eyes on him because it looks like his pockets are bulging when there shouldn't be anything in his pockets? Do I have to keep my eyes on him because he told me this? And is this true or will he do this? Do I have to keep my eyes on him? In Christ Jesus, surely the answer is no. No, I don't have to keep my eyes on him. No, I don't have to be afraid that he's going to steal from me. No, I know that I can trust him. I can depend on him. I can rely on him. And he will do a better job than he ever did or ever could do before he was free. In Christ Jesus, my brothers and my sisters, we can do more than we can ever imagine. In Christ Jesus, we can stay in the row. We can stay in the right path. In Christ Jesus, we can do exceedingly abundantly above all, because the Spirit of God in Christ lives within us. And so there's nothing that we can't do, that God will have us to do. In Christ, Onesimus' status is elevated. He's more, the word says, he's more than a slave. He is one who works for his bosses as if he is working directly for Jesus the Christ, because he is working directly for Jesus the Christ. He will do the will of God from the heart and not out of compulsion. His service will be a good will service as to the Lord, to honor his God. After all, his name is Onesimus. And in the Greek, it literally means profitable. Amen. So now Onesimus in Christ Jesus lives into the reality of who he truly is. His character now matches his name. And finally, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, as a result of becoming the spiritual son of Paul, Onesimus becomes the spiritual brother of Philemon. For Philemon himself is a follower of Christ. Isn't it amazing how God orchestrates things? How God sets things up. But he doesn't talk about the character of Philemon at the point when Onesimus runs away. But here we have two believers in Christ Jesus. One who's a master, one who's a slave. And they're coming together. They're coming together. And in this letter that Paul has sent to Philemon, he's encouraging him to receive Onesimus as such, a brother in Christ Jesus. No longer a slave, but a brother forever. A brother in Christ forever. Forever is an important word. So if you are truly in Christ Jesus, forever means that you are in Christ Jesus forever. There's no falling away. Jesus said that whom the Father gives me, nobody can take out of my hand. So he's a brother forever. He's a friend forever. His status is above that of a slave. He is a fellow sojourner in the life of Christ with Philemon, a beloved brother in the Lord. And so as he goes back to face his path, he sees Philemon differently. And Philemon sees him differently. As a brother in Christ, Onesimus treats Philemon differently. And Philemon must treat Onesimus differently. The word of God commands us to do so as his boss, as his owner, as his master. God's word commands that Philemon, the follower of Christ, treat his servants with the utmost respect, giving up threatening and mistreating them. Give them what is just and fair, knowing that he too has a master in heaven. And in God, there is no partiality. Onesimus wants a mad and frustrated runaway slave exalted to a position in Christ, that position of honor. A man who humbled himself in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord has lifted him up. Onesimus wants an unprofitable servant, hallelujah, to his owner, has humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, and God exalted him to his rightful place, to the good work in Christ Jesus that he was created to do. My brothers and my sisters, the God that we serve, hallelujah, if we humble ourselves before him, he will exalt us to our rightful place, to the place of good work in Christ Jesus that we too were created to do. According to William Barclay, based on letters penned by Ignatius, one of the great Christian martyrs, Onesimus became the bishop of Ephesus. He became the bishop of Ephesus. A slave. A slave. A runaway. met Jesus. Mm-hmm. He met Jesus on that runaway road. Mm-hmm. He met the Lord mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he humbled himself, hallelujah, to the move of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God wrought a good thing and a new thing in the life of Onesimus. And if it is true, if it is true that he became the bishop, a slave, became the bishop of Ephesus, how much his rise in status, his rise in church leadership mm-hmm. encourages us today. So no matter who you are, no matter where you come from or where you've been, no matter what you have done or how far you have fallen, it doesn't matter how much you think yourself unworthy. It doesn't matter the sin. About your shortcomings, my brothers and my sisters, no matter when or where or how you have missed the mark, there is not one thing that God can't do to fix your life.
Amen. Amen.
Or to solve the problems in your life. There's nothing that he can't do to rescue you.
Amen.
Or to lift you out of. So like Onesimus, you too can be exalted in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, if anyone cleanses himself or herself by the blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. if anyone takes these earthen vessels mm-hmm. and places them in the hand of Jesus the Christ, withholding nothing, if anyone is willing to step out on faith and love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, he or she will be a vessel of honor.
Amen.
A vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work, exalted.
Amen.
Exalted. Elevated in rank, exalted, elevated in spirit, exalted, elevated in power, exalted, elevated in your mind, exalted, elevated in character, exalted, elevated in status, exalted, elevated in the kingdom of God. Exalted. Forever changed for the glory of the Lord. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. In the name of the Holy Spirit. We've got to stop living defeated lives, my brothers and my sisters. We've got to stop living defeated lives. We don't have to be slaves to sin.
Amen.
We don't have to be slaves to our own selves, our own thinking. We don't have to be slaves to people of the world. We don't have to be slaves to anything or anybody. Because God wants to exalt us. He wants to exalt us in himself. He wants to change our status. Won't you let him change your status? That's all the doors, hallelujah. Doors of the church. The Church of Jesus Christ. Not the Church of Showers of Blessing, because I'm going to tell you something. Your membership in Showers of Blessing will not get you a seat in heaven. Your status as a member of Showers of Blessing will not open the gates of heaven for you. The only thing, and the only one who will open the gates of heaven for any of us is Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
waiting. You've been waiting for us. Help us to release. Help us to release. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Not to be held captive anymore, God. Anointing fall upon us. Elevate.